You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord Jesus Christ, I pray at this time that the word that would go forth, that would remain, that would abide, would be not my word, but you, Lord Jesus, the living word, in whom we find life. And it is in your name that I pray. Amen. We all are, in some ways, observers of our story, but curators of our story as well. We try to understand our lives. We try to understand the world around us. We try to understand ourselves in context of the world around us. And it's interesting, isn't it, the encounters and the people sometimes that remain in your memory as your life moves on. Some people perhaps even just briefly for a moment in your life, and yet there's an interaction that happens that leaves a mark, that leaves an imprint, sometimes one of difficulty, sometimes one of hopefulness. And I think about one of those particular moments as we begin our reflection this morning on this portion of Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. And it was when I was a freshman in college at the Citadel, and I lived on the it's just such a pleasant life. I lived on the 4th Battalion in Law Barracks. Isn't that something? Law Barracks on the 4th Battalion. And next door to me were two of the scariest guys in our company. Shane Morris. I didn't know him as Shane at the time, and Patrick Toomey. They were both Marine contract juniors, sergeants. They were the kind of guys that you'd seek to avoid, and they were my next door neighbors. And one night, it was late, as Paul Simon would say, it was late in the evening, and I was there minding my own business in my room, and Morris and Toomey came and pulled me out of my room and into their room. And sorry, I've got my fall froggy voice on this morning, but I won't be able. But they started to yell at me, "Get on the corner of the rug!" They were screaming at me, "Get on the corner of the rug!" So I went and I stood on the corner of the rug, bracing as one did in that particular moment in life. And they continued to scream at me. And again, it was late. There was just sort of a desk lamp on, so it's dark, and they're screaming at me to get on the corner of the rug. And of course, that can be a little bewildering, and you know, you start to think, well, there are four corners, maybe they have a different corner in mind than this corner, and you know, you start to do the whole thing in your mind. And I remember, I don't think it was wisdom so much as fatigue. I just thought, you know, this is my corner. This is, you know what, tonight, this is my corner of the rug. I'm going to go ahead and stay right here. And after a minute, they said, "Good." And I just thought, what in the world? They said, "Good, Smalley, you need to learn to decide and execute. Whatever decision you make, people are going to yell at you. So you just need to learn to decide and execute. Now get out of here." That was, you know, Saturday Night Live, Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy. That was just sort of life lessons with Toomey and Porter. Decide and execute. You're going to get yelled at regardless. And that's a that's a silly story in some ways, but it remains with me to this day. In some ways, sort of part of my life story. At least I believe in the truth of it. If I don't execute it all that well, I believe in the truth of it. But the reason that it remains with me, and the reason I share it this morning as we begin this reflection, is obviously it began as something which was bewildering. I didn't quite know what to make of it, but it was it had an intent. What was bewildering, what was seemingly in the moment unfathomable, it had an intent. And the intent was to shape, the intent was to fashion. The intent was to prepare in their own way. They were seeking to shape. In their own way, they were seeking to fashion. In their own way, they were seeking to prepare me. And it's, again, forgive me, but to point me perhaps to a greater truth in their minds, a greater truth. And I share that because we have this time of year in the church season and the church calendar. Today is Advent, which means this is the beginning of the church year. And you may remember, Advent means coming. It means revealing. And often around this time of year, we're seemingly decidedly out of step with the culture around us because we hear about the second coming of Jesus. We hear about the end of the world. We hear that Tom has scheduled me two Sundays in a row for the end of the world. Tom will be next week. Jesus loves you. Today we have the end of the world as we know it. And as REM notes, we can feel fine, and we can feel better than fine. We can feel secure. Jesus, in this 24th chapter, Matthew records Jesus speaking to things which were specific soon, historically, in the lives of the people, the destruction of the temple, the place that they knew as their identity as God's people. That would be the way that they identified themselves and the way that they identified as God's people, their identity, their knowledge of themselves, the story of their lives was about to be destroyed, left not one stone upon another. And the Roman world itself, even beyond the people of Israel and Judaism, the Romans would go through in a span of a year's time four different emperors, and they themselves, the secular, were sure that the world was coming to an end. So there are these words which are seemingly bewildering, and yet they are preparatory words, and they're words which point to a greater truth. And part of the invitation, of course, to you and to me is the realization that though the world fall apart, though our lives fall apart from time to time, there's a certainty and security that we have that transcends our circumstance. Part of the message of the gospel, part of the revelation of God and his redemptive purpose is though yours and my lives may from time to time fall apart, either physically or emotionally or relationally, that's a truth that we can identify with. And we have a word of promise and a word of security. And this invitation to be people who are awake, who are alert, who are watchful, not in the sense that we have all the answers and that we have all understanding, because one of the things that we hear repeatedly, and we hear it again this Sunday, Jesus saying, no one knows, only the Father, the hour and the day. Jesus relieves us of the desire to have it all figured out. He relieves us of the desire to have all the answers. And I contend we'll grapple with that, won't we? Just hearing it this morning is not going to cure you and me of that particular longing and that desire to have it and to understand it and to have it all together and to have all the answers. And Jesus says, here's the amazing news. You don't need to know, you need to be known. It's not that you need to know, you need to be known. And Jesus comes into the world that you and I might be known. And in his initial revelation of himself, in his initial revelation of God, in the beginning of the work of our hope and security and salvation, it's Jesus himself being torn down on our behalf. It is his service and his suffering and his mercy and his crucifixion and his resurrection that are the first bewildering and yet profoundly good news for you and for me. The first sign that is given will be Jesus himself being torn down and being raised up again. And the gift given to you and to me is, yes, an understanding that the world will not go on forever, that the kingdom of God has been inaugurated, and it will come to its consummation. The time will come. We're not required to have all the details, but to fix our eyes upon the one who will one day come back. And not only will he one day come back, but who promises to be with us now, in this moment, in the future. When our worlds fall apart, when our worlds seemingly come to an end, we have one who will gather us, who knows us. Another funny memory, thinking about when I was, my sisters and I, when we were little, one of the things, my dad loved the coast. Mom loved the mountains, dad loved the coast. And we would go to the beach, and we had this great inflatable raft, but not a flimsy one, like this uber sturdy plastic raft that dad would get us in, and he would pull us out into the waves. And of course, we absolutely loved riding the waves. And of course, you know what would often happen, more often than not, we wouldn't ride the waves so much as we would be catapulted out of the boat. And then, you know, you're just sort of rumbling along underneath, crashing against the sand, and the water is pushing you down. And dad would come, and he would scoop us out. He would scoop us out. He'd put us back in the boat. We were like, again, let's do it again. Let's do it again. And so we would do that, and God love, we would do that again and again and again, that we would do that. And again, kind of a silly image, I admit, but that imagery is in so many ways resonant of what I'm hoping to say to us this morning. We have this 24th chapter that can be strange and bewildering, and seemingly speaks a number of different things to us, and we can feel as if we're tumbling along with it. This call to stay awake, to be alert, but yet at the same time, we can't know, and only the Father knows. And the amazing message of the gospel revealed to us in this is that in the context of our own stories that we seek to understand, we're part of a bigger story. And it's the story of God's creative, redempted, gracious gathering purpose. God comes into the world, and he is torn down on our behalf in the cross and the resurrection, and the sign is given to you and to me of a God who comes to graciously gather us, that we might be known, that we might be his. And there is the promise that in the context of the world, in context of our lives, there's the promise, there's the certainty that ultimately, fully, finally, God will reign, that he will gather us to himself, that we will be with him forever. Heavenly Father, thank you that you come into the world that we might be yours. Pray that you would enable us to know you and to be known by you, and that regardless of where we find ourselves, we might know that we are ultimately, fully, finally secure in you now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.